Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Nice to see so many of you on this Saturday evening. It feels like it was just 9 hours ago, though, I said goodbye to you guys, but it is so nice to see you. Once again, gentlemen, good to see you. Winnipeg Jets dropping a 4-2 decision to the Ottawa Senators. The Jets unable to string together more than one win after they finally got off the schneid on Wednesday against Calgary. Well, they're right back on it after a fairly substandard, I would say, performance against the Ottawa Senators. The Jets make the Senators look like a juggernaut. And if that's
Senators
how they're
are a juggernaut, Drew.
Well, if that's a sign of how the Jets are going to play against good quality teams, i.e., not the Calgary Flames, i.e., not the Vancouver Canucks, and I guess to some extent not the Montreal Canadiens, well, then it's not going to be a very long playoff run. Obviously, you can't extrapolate that and make a direct comparison, but you know, for a Jets team that is still looking for ways to feel good about themselves, not a lot about tonight for them to feel good about.
Well, you know, when you look back at this game, you're going to think about all the missed opportunities and, you know, the two goals in the first period off of the tips. And you know, guys, I really think, you know, those goals, you can't, you know, lay at the feet of Connor Hellebuck. Those were just really nice tips from Connor Brown and Timmy Stützle. And it's funny because, you know, on this morning show, those were the two players that I asked Ian Mendez about, right? If you remember, you know, Connor Brown's had a lot of success against the Jets this year. I think he's up to 10 points now on the season. And Tim Stützle, obviously. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Stützle is a guy that, you know, I think is fifth or fourth in rookie scoring. He's had some, you know, droughts this season, but, you know, picks up his first career hat trick. So, you know, first off, we have to give credit to the Senators. Like, this team's going to be a playoff team, guys, very soon. I don't know if it happens next year, but, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years, I would be shocked if this team isn't in the playoffs. And, you know, Kopp, Lowry, Appleton, Dave, they were great. And, you know, really unfortunate there in the third period because Matty Perreault feeds Mason Appleton with a beautiful pass right in the slot. You know, Appleton has a great chance and, you know, unfortunately he's not able to put it past Philip Gustafson and then he takes a penalty. And I realized that, you know, the penalty, Twitter was erupting a little bit. I thought it was maybe a bit of a weak call, interference on Brady Tkachuk. And then obviously, you know, Brady Tkachuk could have easily been called for a spear, or he could have maybe even been called on the slash on Connor Hellebuck. And, you know, it's funny because I was kind of thinking right around, you know, when that slash happened, that's when maybe Paul Maurice was going to pull Hellebuck for the extra attacker. But, you know, that was kind of the final dagger, right? And, you know, Mark Scheifele, you know, brings the Jets within one on a just absolute beauty sauce pass from Blake Wheeler, but, you know, too little too late, right? And then you've got to try to tie it up with 50 seconds left there, and then Stastny takes the penalty. But overall, like, you know, this was not how you wanted to respond, or I guess, you know, continue, you know, gain some more momentum after beating Calgary to snap the losing streak. What I meant was, you know, get revenge on Ottawa for defeating you on the road. So, you know, I guess you really liked Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler. That was one of the best games I've seen them play in a while. We talked about, you know, the goal from Appleton, beautiful pass from Scheifele, and give Appleton credit, Dave, because he kept the puck in. He kept the play alive on that play because it was a bit of a line change there, and Appleton stayed out. And he deserves a lot of credit for how well he played, and that whole line was good. But again, boys like Dubois, Stastny, Perreault, I think they left a lot to be desired. Dubois had a really good scoring chance in the first period, wasn't able to bury it. But second and the third period, I didn't think that, you know, Dubois, Stastny, and Perreault were generating enough offense. So again, it was kind of like, you know, two good lines out of the forward lines, and they didn't finish again, still struggling to score goals. That's really been the story of the Jets here over the last, you know, three and a half weeks.
Well, Kyle Connor with that golden opportunity where he had enough time to make an illegal curve sandwich in front of Gustafson there. And he just, you know, he just looks like shell-shocked because Kyle Connor usually doesn't miss on that opportunity. We know he's got some of the best in tight hands that you see in the NHL. And he sort of made it easy with his shot there. It wasn't like it was a grade A, you know, five alarm, robbery by Gustafsson to keep the game at the 2-1 level. And then the third period starts for me, and the Jets have no push in the third period. And Ottawa takes the game to them to start the entire third period, and they get the 3-1 goal. Stützle, that was his second of the game before he got the hat trick. That, to me, is... You know, the Jets started the game off well in the first period, had a lot of good chances, aren't able to capitalize on those chances. Ottawa capitalizes on theirs with the two sort of mid-slot tips that get them on the board. But then it's 2-1 after Appleton cuts the lead in half after that nice pass from Scheifele. But no push from the Jets in the third period. That, to me, is what bothered me the most about this game, is just the lack of a push from the Jets, to start that third period. Before we let you in here, Dave, I just want to make mention, I am keeping a close eye on the results of the Montreal-Toronto game. There are under 30 seconds to play there. The Leafs still holding on to the 3-2 lead. We'll keep you up to date on that. And when that game goes final, we'll let you know immediately here on the post-game show. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
So wait a second. Am I here to talk about the Jets, or am I here to talk about the big Moose win today?
Talk about the Moose when we need to stall for some time. So that's when we let you do that.
Okay, fair enough. So no Moose talk right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll reserve that to the end of the end of this broadcast.
Thank you,
guys. I think Ezzy and I often talk about this Jets team. You had a feeling that this Jets team, if they were down, could tie the game. When they were down 3-1, 3-2 earlier in the season, you just didn't, like, you weren't concerned. You thought to yourself, okay, this team can pull it together. They've got the goal scorers who can do it. They don't have it's not an issue. This team can come back. I didn't feel like that was the case. When it was 3-1, I didn't think this game was, I thought it was over. I mean, Ottawa, first of all, like we've been talking about, beating Calgary is nice, but Calgary stinks. So they're, even though they beat Edmonton, but it doesn't mean anything. Just, Calgary just is a team that was going through the motions, right?
Yeah.
What did we talk about? We talked about the importance of beating a team like Ottawa, who doesn't stink, who's been very good, 7-1-1 in their last 9, now 8-1-1 in their last 10 games now.
Because one of the top 10 teams in the last month in the NHL. I mean, I referenced it on this morning's broadcast. Certainly, I think they were entering tonight, one of the either in eighth place or ninth place in the last month of games. So this is a good
It doesn't even matter what's going on in the rest of the NHL
It's gone final in Toronto. The Maple Leafs hold on for a 3-2 victory over the Montreal Canadiens. So, the Jets miss an opportunity to clinch at least third spot with the loss tonight, but the counterpoint is that they don't, that they still maintain their lead over the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens play 2 more games. The Jets obviously have 3 left. So that is just a point of reference that the Leafs do win in regulation over the Montreal Canadiens after the Habs certainly had did they have a 2-0 lead, if I'm not mistaken, in that game? Yeah. So the Habs blow a 2-0 lead to Toronto tonight. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to just quickly say Jake Allen let in a really weak goal for
Pierre Engvall, and
to your point, Drew, now the same scenario is going to apply on Monday, right? When the Jets play the Canucks, if they win and the Canadians lose, I guess it would have to be in regulation as well. Then the Jets will clinch third.
That's correct. Exactly right.
Anyways, so I to be honest, you interrupted me and I've lost my train of thought. I don't remember what the hell I was talking about. Thanks, Drew.
Well, I wasn't listening to you
about
either,
the Moose and their 9-game point streak.
No, I wasn't allowed to. Drew cut me off.
I guess it's 10 now.
It's 10. I was going to say it's 10 game. It's 10. And you know what? Hey, look, Chuck wants me to talk about the Moose.
You know what you were talking about, Dave? You were talking about how you didn't at any point in time think the Jets were going to come back when they were down 3-1 in this game.
At least one of us is paying attention to what the hell I'm talking about. But the point is that, again, this is not a feeling you have with this Jets team right now. And largely that's because the guys who drive this bus more often than not don't look like they're driving the bus. The bus is broken down on the side of the road right now. Kyle Connor, don't know what's going on, but he just doesn't have it going on. And it's, Pierre-Luc Dubois, there's flashes, but, it's not enough. And again, it's nice that Mark Scheifele scored his 200th goal, but, look, the funny part about this game was the Jets started off hot. 8-1 were the shots. Then the Senators score on their second shot. Then the Senators score in their third shot. And really, that third shot was kind of a Connor Hellebuck giveaway. I mean, it was a great tip, but he gave away the puck behind the net. Again, And it's funny. I thought maybe you want to say a year and a half ago, I thought Connor Hellebuyck was handling the puck better. But I think the Jets' best bet is for Connor Hellebuyck to never play the puck again because he just gave it
where
away.
Was I mean, the support just, there, though, Dave? Like, I agree. Where is the winger there?
Well, I mean, again, he and Heinola, and there's obviously there's a freshness in that relationship. So there's maybe a little bit of miscommunication there, but you're right, Ezzy. Like, there was no support. I'm not blaming it all on Hellebuyck. I just thought they were.
No,
all,
I know you're not, Dave.
It was just a bad series of events that ends up in the back of your net when you're feeling good. I mean, you've already hit a post in the game. You're feeling like you're out shooting Ottawa. Ottawa's playing, you know, the goaltender's playing well. But, you know, again, this is a Jets team that needs a break because the Senators are great. Like, they've been playing really good hockey. Not great, but you know what I mean? They've been playing excellent hockey.
They've been playing better hockey than the Jets.
Well, that's not saying much. So the point I'm trying to make is that you've got a team that you need to feel good about yourself and you're generating, you're just not finishing. And again, it's the guys that you need to finish. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, your big dogs. Again, Mason Appleton scoring, that's great. No problem with that. You know, his 10th goal, it was funny because we talked about it with Mike McIntyre today on the show about how he, you know, ever since Jason Bell wrote that story, which if you think about it, Jason Bell came on our show right after he wrote that story about Mason Appleton, and then he didn't score a goal since then, which was, what was it, Ezzy, like 19 games or something like that? It was a long
first goal in 18 games, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a long stretch for Mason Appleton. But look, at the end of the day, you know, you need your big dogs have to be your big dogs, and they're the ones who have to get it done, and they're the ones who get paid the big bucks to get it done. And if you can't score in this league, and look, we know as the playoffs get closer, the games get tighter and goals are more difficult to come by. So when you have opportunity, you have to bury them. And that's just what we're not seeing this team do.
Well, and to your point there, Dave, about, you know, have opportunity, you need to bury them, because the Jets are not a team that grinds out multiple opportunities over the course of a game. They're not a team that, you know, is going to hack and bang and get the puck in that way. They're a team that, you know, scores in transition. They're a quick strike offense. They're an opportunistic offense. So when you have, you know, and they're designed to not get that many opportunities a game. That's why they're always sort of, losing on the Corsi spreadsheet and losing on the 5-on-5 battle, and their expected goals are so much lower is because they are more of a quick strike offense. But when you're a quick strike offense and you're not striking, well, then you're not really even having an offense is really what it boils down to, because you just don't have you're not designed to score by, you know, mucking it up and getting ugly, dirty, sort of garbagey goals where it's just, you know, five men into the front of the net and you're hacking away at it. That's not how the Jets are built. And so when you're not scoring, when Kyle Connor has that golden opportunity, and Kyle Connor right now he has no confidence whatsoever, really, in any aspect of his game, because Kyle Connor's game is built in the offensive zone. I don't know what it takes to get that monkey off of him, but you know that when he scores again, and he's going to score again, and maybe the Vancouver Canucks are the solution to that, you know, then he's going to feel this weight off his shoulders. But right now, this Jets team, just when you can't strike, if you're built as a quick strike team and you can't strike, then really, what are you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dave mentioned, you know, the turnover from Connor Hellebuyck, if you want to call it that, because that's essentially what it was. I mean, rims the puck around the boards and it goes right to Artem Zub. And it goes back to what was happening on that 7-game losing streak, boys. Like, it was every time that the Jets made a mistake, it seemed like the opposing team was always capitalizing, right? Because we know they were struggling to score goals. And that's the difference in these games. This was a one-goal game in the third period. And, you know, you go back to the third goal that Timmy Stützle scores there. And again, you know, we don't want to single out one or two players, but, you know, to me, it was every player on the ice just, you know, didn't make the right decision, right? Like Derek Forbort, he's being pressured a little bit, but it's not what you would call, you know, heavy pressure. You know, sends the puck up to Trevor Lewis along the boards. You know, Trevor Lewis mishandles it. I forget which defenseman it goes to. And that defenseman got it to Tim Stützle in the point. Was it Tim Stützle? I forget who originally got the puck in the slot there and just made the cross ice pass. It wasn't Stützle, because Stützle scored the goal, guys, but I'm forgetting here who assisted on the goal, but
keep going.
But
it was Brown. Poole,
Connor Brown. Yeah, so it was Connor Brown, and I was forgetting the defenseman. I'm not analyzing this goal too well, boys, but you know, the point is that it was just, you know, it was a turnover, you know, I don't know if you'd call it miscommunication. It just wasn't a very good, you know, attempt to get out of the zone in combination with Derek Forbort and Trevor Lewis. And then, you know, Tucker Poolman, just instead of maybe trying to, you know, go, you know, take a little bit more time and space away from Stützle, you know, he kind of goes on his stomach and tries to intercept the pass. So, you know, it was, that goal to me is emblematic of what has gone wrong, you know, in these last, I guess, let's say 9 games here. The Jets only getting one win. They just seem to be exposed a lot when they make those turnovers. So yes, they are still struggling to score goals. And you know, I agree with you guys, like Kyle Connor, it does not look like the same Connor that we saw through the first, you know, 43, 44, 45 games of the season, but he'll eventually snap out of it. It's just a matter of time. But I did like what that line was. We haven't seen
Kyle Connor struggle like this since he got, remember when he came up with the Jets, and then he got sent back to the Moose for a few games in,
that was his rookie season.
His rookie season. Yeah, like years ago at this point in time. He hasn't looked this pedestrian since then. And that was a player, remember, he went down to the Moose for a handful of games.
No, he went for the whole season. What are you talking about? His next year.
The next year.
He played 5 games for the Moose, and he scored, I think, 3 goals, 2 assists.
Right. He went down there, said, okay, I'm too good for this league.
It was the first five games of his season.
Right. And never looked back since then. But now this is a player who's just in shambles right now. And I don't, you know, when you're a young player, and he's still in my books, I'll call him a young player, and you go through, you know, an offensive struggle. Well, Drew,
we're really old. So most of the players are young compared to
everybody's young compared to me. Yeah. But, you know, when you're going through a struggle like that, really your first serious prolonged struggle, when goal scoring has been almost easy for you in this league up to this point, it must be very difficult to get out of it. That's no excuse. I'm not excusing him. He makes a shit ton of money so that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't get that excuse to fall back on. But, you know, the Jets just as a whole are a team that is bereft of anything offensive right now.
There's a lot offensive, but not in terms of ability.
Right. They have no ideas seemingly how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficulty. It's, you know, yes, they played okay in their own zone, and I think their defensive approach to the game was probably appropriate for them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if your defensive approach is that, and you have absolutely nothing on the offensive side, you know, somewhere there has to be a balance between the two, because if you can't score, you know, Connor Hellebuyck can be, you know, as amazing a player as he can be. And we know that is quite a good hockey player, quite a good goaltender. It's mm-hmm. just not possible to rely on him if they're only going to score a goal a game.
No, absolutely. And, you know, another thing, you know, that we talked about quite a bit on that seven game losing streak was, you know, at times the power play opportunities the Jets have in the first period. You know, they had some good looks and all of that. Like we mentioned, the Morrissey, you know, rings off the plumbing there, guys. And, you know, that's one thing that I've really liked Morrissey's game. And I realize that, you know, he's been criticized quite a bit this year, but I like how he seems to be making a more concerted effort to put more pucks on the net. I realize that, you know, pucks on net is the most cliche thing in hockey, but it's true. Like you can tell, you know, that he's trying to, you know, add a little bit of an offensive, not an offensive element to his game. He's already got that. But what I mean is he's putting more shots on net. You can tell, you know, that's something for him that he's trying to do. And it's not just on the power play. And, you know, we can talk all we want about how Nikolai Ehlers is missed in the lineup. But I mean, the power play, you could see they were moving that puck around. And I thought, you know, Blake Wheeler, I thought he was moving, like you could see him, Dave, like he was moving behind the net, and you could see Connor was, there was good movement. Like they were moving the puck. It wasn't like, you know, the last game against Ottawa, right? I talked about that on this morning show when they had 6 power play opportunities, and several of those power play opportunities were, it was painful to watch. Like there was just, it was such a predictable power play. So I think they have made some adjustments to the power play, but it's the same old story. You didn't get the results, right? So if the Jets end up getting, you know, a power play goal in that first period, I really do think you build off that a little bit more, and this game could have gone the other way. But this was just one of those games, you know, going back to what Drew said, there just wasn't enough sustained pressure. There weren't enough of those high danger chances. Like in the second and third period, how many stretches were there, guys, where, you know, the Jets were in the Senators zone and creating a lot of offense. Like, you just didn't see that, right? Like, you didn't see scoring chance after scoring chance after scoring chance. You saw a few, but certainly the first period was by far the Jets' best period. And after that, it was just, there just wasn't enough offense created.
Yeah, I mean, there's, again, I think it just keeps coming back to the same thing. And it's that you need goal scoring. And especially in the playoffs, when goal scoring becomes a premium, and it's not going to be easy, it's going to be even more difficult when your guys just aren't getting it done. And, you know, again, you're not getting it done against, you know, premier goaltending. And you know, just to quickly reference back to the Moose game today, you know, the Moose were facing Frederik Andersen. They scored five goals against, well, four goals plus two in the shootout, Cole Perfetti and David Gustafson. So the Leafs don't know necessarily have, I mean, you know, we talked to O-Dog about it. You know, Campbell looks like he might be your go-to guy based on the way he's playing. And Frederik Andersen, I mean, I've watched him the last two games against the Moose, and they had a 2-1 lead against him. He played 31 minutes of that game on Thursday, and he played the full 65 plus the shootout today, and he didn't look very good. So not to say that some of the goals, Cole Perfetti scored just a spectacular goal to in the game as well, both in the shootout and in regulation. But, you know, you have to be able to generate. I mean, you're not facing Connor Hellebuyck right now. And that's, you know, that's something that factors in, right? What do we always talk about is the big advantage for this Winnipeg Jets team is that you're supposed to have the best goaltender in the league, or specifically in the North Division. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be your edge. But again, and I'm not going to sit here and dump on Connor Hellebuyck, because I think he's been probably their best player for the entirety of the season. They wouldn't be here without what he has done for them on most nights throughout the course of the year. But I just think, like, you've got a situation where you need to, you can't always be reliant on him. And this team, I think, has just become
too much. He's got to have run support. I mean,
well, and again,
you know, a baseball term, he's got to have more run support. And too many times this year, even, you know, in the third period there, like, the Senators were better than the Jets in the third period. They were better than the Jets in this game.
Like, they were, that was what I said off the start, is that, you know, how do you not push? Where is the push in the third period? Okay, you've had a good second period in the sense that you've cut the lead in half. You all had a golden opportunity towards the end of the second period to tie the game altogether. Third period starts, you're expecting a push. There was no push from the Jets until, you know, Scheifele's goal with 56 seconds to play.
Right.
That's far too little, far too late. I mean, that is, to me, what you have to go back to the dressing room and say, look, the players need to look at themselves in the mirror and say, why emotionally aren't we in the game?
Okay, so let me just quickly segue, because our boy Murat Attest just wrote to quote what Paul Maurice just said, the hard work was there, but the emotion was hard to find. I mean, regardless, well, I'm just saying, Drew, like, you're talking about a lack of emotion. I don't, regardless of whether you agree with it, the entirety of the statement, but he is confirming what you just said, which is, where was the emotion? And that's kind of what what I talked about, and what we've seen from this Jets team, is that ability to kind of generate it. You know, you get mad and you force the issue. You're a big horse and you got to ride. And so, you know, whether you're down by a goal or down by two or down by three, this Jets team consistently, even if they put themselves into a deficit, found a way out of it. And the team this team for the last 3 weeks doesn't look like they could. I mean, they just don't. And again, like I said, that's why we've watched games together at Bell MTS Place for, you know, 10 years now. And oftentimes, like, even when the Jets have been down, Ezzy and I will look at each other, you know, usually beside each other, now socially distanced. And we'd say, well, you know, I mean, sure, but this team is going to come back because they have X, Y, and Z that's going to factor in.
Because they were giving you reasons that they were going to come back, right? Like, the way that they were playing, they were getting opportunities, and you knew it was just a matter of time. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, like, Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler, I realized that, you know, Connor, again, you know, doesn't score a goal, but, you know, Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler, I thought looked faster. And, you know, Kopp, Lowry, Appleton, I mean, they were doing what you, especially earlier in the game, you know, they were engaged physically. They were making plays. Like, Kopp had a good game. He, you know, we talked about Appleton, you know, scores the goal earlier in the game and had a really good chance in the third period. But, you know, that was kind of it, right? Like, you didn't get a lot from the fourth line. You didn't get a lot from the second line, aside from, you know, that good chance for Dubois in the first period. But, you know, in terms of the emotion that you mentioned, Drew, like, yes, the Jets have already clinched a playoff spot, but there was something to play for here. You're trying to clinch third place, and that's significant, right? Well, and we can talk all day about, you know, if the Jets match up better against the Leafs than the Oilers. And I don't know about that, because I think, you know, the Leafs are a pretty good team, especially, you know, with some of the additions they made prior to the trade deadline. But you still want to clinch third. I mean, you're not going to just say, okay, well, we made the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter if we win this game. You know that these guys wanted to win this game, and they're keeping an eye on the Leafs-Canadians game, and they're happy that the Leafs won because they don't want the Canadians to pass them. So there was something to play for in this game.
Well, so if the Jets can't find emotion tonight, that, you know, extrapolating that out, they shouldn't be able to find emotion on Monday or Tuesday against Vancouver, because those games are just as meaningless, if not more meaningless, than tonight's game was. And then next Friday... that's a funny comment from Ty there, saying the game was so unemotional. Ty was such a big
Nick Cage fan.
Yeah, I found myself flipping channels to Con Air. Con Air is a classic. That is a good one. Yeah. Con Air was a good one. I you know what I always sort of Con Air Passenger 57 when Wesley Snipes was in his heyday. That was also a good movie if you want to talk about movies that involved violence on a plane. And I guess
well, we're talking about Wesley Snipes, Drew. We have to mention Demolition Man. I mean, that's one of my favorite action movies of all time.
I don't like snakes, so I did not enjoy Snakes on a Plane, but that's a separate issue entirely. But I'm just saying, if you can't find emotion tonight, you know, segue over. If you
Snakes
can't find
on a Plane with Samuel L. Jackson, not Wesley Snipes.
I know that.
I know, but we're talking going about
movies
planes.
On a plane.
Planes, Ezzy, come on.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, if we're talking about plane movies, Airplane with Leslie Nielsen is the best.
That's a good one. Classic. That's a classic.
Come on, Drew. Come on. You know that.
My boy, what birthday would that have been? Maybe my 7th or my 8th birthday. I think I had some friends over for a sleepover. Neither of you were invited. Don't worry. And I think we watched Airplane 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Drew, we learned long ago not to lie to the audience. And if you're going to try and pretend like you had friends when you were a kid, that's a lie to the audience. So please, let's move on.
Airplane is Sheldon's favorite movie. I feel like he loves that movie.
Airplane's a good movie. I mean, the Airplane's a funny movie. You can't go wrong. If Airplane's on, you know, Airplane and Spaceballs, if either of those two movies are on, you're probably going to watch those movies. Going back to what I was saying, if you can't find emotion tonight, presumably you can't find emotion on Monday, you can't find emotion on Tuesday, you can't find emotion on Friday when you finish off the season against the Leafs. So if you can't find emotion at all, can you find the emotion? Can you flip the emotional switch for the playoffs? That's, you know, if that's all that's ailing the Winnipeg Jets, and it's clear to me that it's more than that, you know, I think systems and roster deployment is also ailing the Winnipeg Jets. So if those are your three big issues, it seems like you got some problems ahead of the playoffs.
Well, let's go back to, you know, this game, right? Like we talked about Thomas Chabot's not in the lineup. Chabot is, we all know, he's their best defenseman. Yeah, that's right, Marsh. I had the beard at 4 for sure. And my son Ruben's going to have a beard pretty soon. He's almost 2. So, you know,
I just hope it's not your daughter.
No, but let's go back, though, and like let's go over the Senators' defense, right? Like Artem Zub, we talked about him earlier. Like he's a pretty good young defense. You've got Jacob Bernard Docker, who I watched a couple times when I went down to Grand Forks. He's a good, you know, up-and-coming defenseman. He's a rookie, though.
UND drop.
Yeah, UND drop. Nikita Zaitsev. Like you see where I'm going with this? Like,
yeah, you know, it's not a shutdown defense, is what you're saying.
Well, exactly. And like you've got some good young players there. But, you know, this was a game in which you could have absolutely. It was Shane Pinto, by the way, former UND as well, who was the one had the puck at the point. I had to go look it up because it was killing me. That was the third goal where Derek Forbort passed it up to Trevor Lewis and he wasn't able to handle it. But, you know, guys, this defense is a defense that a Jets team that essentially the only player they're missing in their forward group is Nikolai Ehlers. Like you should have been able to take advantage of some of those matchups and you didn't.
Well, and the way they make people, and you know, I love Nikolaj Ehlers, but first of all, Nikolaj Ehlers doesn't play on the first power play unit, so somebody might want to alert the broadcast to that exciting development, because you know his absence is apparently the problem for that solves all of the Winnipeg Jets' issues. If you listen to it, look, Nikolaj Ehlers' absence is big for this team, and Ehlers needs to play more time on the first power play unit in my mind. But that first power play unit is exactly how it's been for the majority of the year. So you can't blame Ehlers' absence on their struggles. They've struggled for reasons that are not Nikolaj Ehlers. They're struggled for reasons of, I would say, predictability. That power play is, I mean, granted, we watch them game in and game out, so we know it better than a lot of other people, but you don't think these other teams have tape study? You don't think these other teams who've played them 9 or 10 times this year know exactly what the Jets want to do on the power play? Of course they do. And so you, at some point in time, need to change it up, because the other team is like, okay, they're doing the same thing again. Well, I guess I know who to cover, because nothing ever changes here.
And they're doing it with a lack of speed. And that's what we talked about. It's not only is it predictable, but it's slow. And they stayed on too long today, I thought. Like, I thought to myself, like, what were they on for, like, a minute 20 on one of the power plays? Like,
the second power play for sure was close to a minute and a half.
Yeah. Like, I was power play unit. And it's just like, if you don't have it, don't force it. That's when you're going to make mistakes, and that's when you're going to get burnt. And
they're trying those seam passes where there's nothing there. You're trying to feather it through 6 different pairs of skates to try a beautiful goal, and it's never going to work, because you know your odds of succeeding with that pass in that short window of space and that many bodies in between, it's infinitesimal, your chances of succeeding with those passes.
Right.
I agree with you, Drew, on the seam passes. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I'm the only one here. I didn't think the two power plays for the Jets were that bad. Like, I obviously know they didn't score, but I mean, I thought that they moved the puck pretty well. And I mentioned, you know, Blake Wheeler was a little bit more active, and, you know, Kyle Connor was jumping up into the play. We mentioned, you know, Josh Morrissey was obviously, you know, feeding pucks, and you know, Blake Wheeler was providing some traffic in front of the net. Like, I thought that it was, put it this way, Drew, I thought it was better than, you know, at times on the last homestand.
Look, but this Jets
but that's
team,
my, that's not good enough, right? You, like, you got to score the goal.
Yeah, they succeed on the win column on the basis of two things: exceptional goaltending from Connor Hellebuck and an exceptional power play.
Yeah,
because 5-on-5, we know they're nothing to write home about. 5-on-5, they've been one of the worst teams in the league for the last number of years, you know, in terms of what's expected of them. So, you know, when you're not, if you are what you are at 5-on-5, but you're reliant on the power play, and your power play isn't working, and it hasn't been working for, you know, the last 9-10 games for sure, then what are you? I mean, the Jets are fortunate that, you know, the first 3 months of the season, or the first, you know, 2 months of the season were so damn good, because otherwise, where would they be right now? If this was the team, I mean, the question is, what Winnipeg Jets team is the real one? The one that was succeeding so well earlier in the year, or the one that's been struggling terribly for the past, you know, for the past 10 games?
That's a valid question, and I would probably say, Drew, that it's, you know, somewhere in between. I mean, the Jets are not this bad. I'm sorry. I don't care, you know, what anybody says. Like, they're not one win in 9 games bad. Like, this is something that I don't think anybody saw coming. But, you know, you make some points that it's tough to argue with, right? Like, the Jets are not a top 5 or even top 15 even strength team in terms of, you know, when you dive deeper into the advanced stats with the expected goals for, expected goals against, and then, you know, when you combine those, and that's what we talked about, you know, what was it, a month and a half ago, you know, when you combine the two, you get expected goals percentage, and the Jets are, I believe, still bottom 5 in the league at even strength. And so, yeah, you're right, Drew. I mean, the Jets do depend a lot on the power play, and it's one thing if you don't score a power play in one game or 2 games, mm-hmm. but when your power play is, you know, below 15% in 5 to 10 game stretches, you know, that's when you really run into problems. And again, you can't blame it on Nikolaj Ehlers. You just can't. There's too many talented players out there on the first power play unit and the second power play unit, you know, that can get the job done and score goals here. So yeah, in these last 3 games, we've been talking about this for the last 7 or 8 games, but yeah, the power play, you have to either change some of the personnel, or, you know, change what you're doing out there, because if that goes into the playoffs, you know, 0-4, that's going to be a huge problem.
Well, you know, it's funny, Dave. You know, we had O-Dog on this morning, as you mentioned earlier, and we were talking about systems, and he said, you know, his tongue firmly in cheek, the way to describe systems in this league, you would think it takes a player 6 months to learn a new system. And, you know, O-Dog knows this better than anybody else because he played the damn game for so many years. You know, so if you're the Winnipeg Jets and your power play is clearly predictable, you can relatively easily institute a new power play, at least a new wrinkle to your power play. But I see nothing of any ingenuity occurring with regard to this Winnipeg Jets power play during their struggles. They just go out there and they do the same thing over and over again, and they wonder why it doesn't succeed. Well, it's not succeeding right now for two reasons. One, as you mentioned, Dave, they're doing it slowly, and you know, slow is death when it comes to a power play. Mm-hmm. And two, it's predictable. Every other opponent knows what you're trying to do. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's a lack of practice time, although to me that excuse is ringing a little bit false in my head, because they have
it applies to all teams, right?
Right. So other teams are able to put in new wrinkles every now and then. Yeah. But this Jets team, when it comes to the power play, well, the same thing we did didn't work anymore. Looks like we have to keep doing it again. I just don't get it, Dave.
Well, I'll give you my thought in 1 second, but I'm first going to tell everybody to smash that like button. We appreciate everybody joining us in the chat, but we want everyone smashing that like button, making sure you're subscribing to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on YouTube. That's always does a lot of good for us, so please smash that like and subscribe. Ring the bell, of course, as well. Get notifications of when we go live. I mean, we usually put it out on our Twitter and on illegalcurve.com, but it also helps when you've done some of that. It helps with the algorithms. Lets other people know that the Illegal Curve post-game show or the Illegal Curve hockey show is on. So,
does anyone actually know what an algorithm is? Like, I realize people say that word.
But well, your dad is a math professor, so I suspect of the three of us, you are the best equipped to. And I'm pretty sure you took calculus. So I'm not so sure that's going to help necessarily. Recalculus. But Anyways,
I did take linear algebra in university, but there's 0% chance I remember any of that.
I'm curious as to what the decision making was that you took linear algebra.
Definitely was thinking he was going to go into like the economics program at U of M.
He went to U of W, Dave.
I know, but I mean, like you needed linear to be able to go into like the business program at Asper.
Guys, we're talking about how many years ago is that? We're talking about 20 years ago.
Like, you were drunk when you made that decision, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was heavily intoxicated. I, you know, just came from the Pemby. Shout out to the Pemby.
Anyways, no, I mean, look, let's just get back to the Jets talk now. But guys, I don't have the answer. I wish I did, but I don't. Like, I mean, again, this seems to be. I think I agree with Ez though. What his assessment? Like, this team isn't as bad as we're seeing. I mean, there's just too much talent on this team that is just not succeeding. Right.
That's a funny comment from Jeff Bowes. Algorithm is a computer program to keep you watching Jets.
Where is that? There it is.
Anyways, so I don't think they're this bad, but I also think that Connor Hellebuck covered a boatload of warts for this Jets team that, you know, when we saw them get just destroyed in so many different categories and yet still win the game, it was because to the point as he made earlier, they were getting the scoring from guys like Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler. You know, go through the list of guys and Nikolai Ehlers. And so there you had the goal scoring, and then you had Connor Hellebuck who shut the door on anything else. Well, if you have Connor Hellebuck give up, like I said, two goals in the first three shots of the game, and I'm not putting it all on Connor Hellebuck because, guys, the defense hasn't been good. These goals happen because of defensive breakdowns. It's not solely on the goaltender unless it's a breakaway, but. So there's a number of things that led up to it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Connor Hellebuck led in two goals on the first three shots. And that's not something you're used to seeing with this Jets team. So, again, I think it's a function of he's not playing otherworldly, which is what this team needs if they want to win. It's what we talked about earlier on this morning's show. And they need the run support. And they just aren't getting it from the usual suspects. So, as a result, it's predictable. But, again, like I said, I just would suggest – that this Jets team isn't, you know, to Ezzy's point, he's right. They're it's shocking to see them having lost this many games. And again, what are you going to do against the Canucks on Monday, Tuesday? Does it really make a difference? I mean, maybe it gets you going again. I mean, I asked Jeff O'Neill the question. And to your point, Drew, Jeff O'Neill played 11 years in the NHL. So he's got an opinion and he's entitled to it. And his feeling was, if a team is going through something, even if it's this late in the season, they're dealing with the adversity, can they harness that? Can they turn it into something? And I think that goes back to what you were just talking about, was that idea of emotion. Can the team show that level of emotion, desperation, not like desperation with grasping our sticks too tight and you're afraid, you're not playing scared hockey, but can you use that, harness that? And again, I just don't think we're seeing it. Maybe we see it Monday. Maybe we see it Tuesday. Maybe that gets the team rolling, but you have to do something because this right now, I don't care that Nikolaj Ehlers is going to be like, don't get me wrong. I think Nikolaj Ehlers is an X factor. And as he's talked about it, you know, he's the most talented player probably on this team, but, and he'll help them, no question about it. But he's not gonna be able to score 3-4 goals a game, you know, outscore their problems. So the reality is you need to see, and look, he's not gonna be back until the playoffs. So what are you gonna do for the next three games?
I think, Dave, you gotta get Logan Stanley back in the lineup. That's a start. And you know, Neil Pionk, obviously, we don't know yet if he's gonna be playing on Monday. But I don't know what you guys think, but I think I'd like to see Stanley. We haven't really talked about Ville Heinola. I think he overall had a pretty solid game. Like, you know,
he's certainly not the problem on that back end. I mean, it's at this point in time for Derek Forbort, he was so good for the Jets earlier in the year.
Looks tired.
He just looks tired. It's coaching malpractice at this point to play him for the next three games when that's a guy who, more than I think anybody on that Jets team right now, could benefit from a break.
Yeah.
He could benefit from a week off that ends up being 10 to 12 days off by the time they start the playoffs. You know, if you want Forbort to be in your lineup come playoff time, you have to rest him Monday and Tuesday at the very least. You have to give him almost an entire week off. Just because the guy can't move out there anymore, he looks like his legs weigh about 1,000 pounds. And if I can see it, and if you can see it, and if Ezzy can see it, and if everybody else in our chat room can see it, and if the games don't really matter, and Derek Forbort being out of your lineup right now, if he's out of your lineup, is addition by subtraction, because at least you're putting a body in there who's got some jump and who's got some skating ability, who's got some energy, then that's only going to benefit the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, Derek Forbort right now is just, I don't blame him. He's given it his all for his team.
And he's had a good year for the Jets. Yeah, he's been a top four defenseman. He's been paired up with Pionk for the majority of the season. You know, we're not singling him out here in terms of his play this year. We're just singling him out in terms of how he's played over the last few weeks. And, you know, Logan Stanley, his last game, I believe, was against Ottawa. On the road, and you know, I think on Monday that would have been 6 or 7 days since his last game. So I think you'd probably want to get Stanley in at least one of these games here. And then I agree with you, Drew. And I think, you know, that could probably apply.
Go Morrissey, Heinola, Stanley on your left side for Monday, Tuesday. You can't tell me that Stanley and Heinola and Morrissey on your left side can't handle the juggernaut Vancouver Canucks.
The Jets should win both of those games just based on the fact that the Canucks are awful. They need to win those games. They've needed to win so many games. And, you know, Dave mentions emotion. I agree. Like, you know, the Jets didn't look like a team that was, you know, trying to do everything they could to win that game. And, you know, it was kind of lackluster at times, even though the first period we talked about, I mean, the Jets just completely dominated the Senators. But again, you know, you were down, you were losing the game, right? So you didn't have the results to show for it. But yeah, like, it's tough to get up for the Vancouver Canucks when the Vancouver Canucks have been eliminated from the playoffs essentially for the last 2 months. But, you know, it would be very embarrassing if you lose even one of those two games just because of, you know, where we are in the season.
You almost need to win handily against Vancouver like you did against Calgary to feel good about yourself. Eking out a victory against Vancouver is not going to be sufficient for this team that struggled, because the wins themselves, matter,
But you know, how much better would this team feel about a significant win or a handily won game against the Canucks on Monday or Tuesday? And they should be able to do it because, well, for, to your point, as a Vancouver isn't a very good hockey team, and not like you know. And when I say that, I mean they're a really lousy team. I was being polite. I mean, Vancouver's got nothing to play for. They've been playing out the stretch. They've been riddled with COVID, for Pete's sake. You're the Jets. You're struggling. You got the playoffs ahead of you. This is the time where you want to make a statement on Monday and Tuesday against the Canucks. The statement being, hey, we're better than you guys are, and we're going to impose our will upon you.
Dave? And Drew, you talked to, I was going to just quickly say here, Drew, you mentioned earlier, you know, lack of practice time, and the Jets aren't going to blame that because all teams are dealing with that, but if you think about it, like these games against Vancouver are essentially practices, right? So that's even more reason why you want to get the power play going. And yes, it's not just about, you know, getting wins here in your last three games. It's the process. It's, you know, how you're playing and what you can carry into the playoffs. It's like Dave said, like regardless if you win all three of these games or you win none of them or one or two, I mean, are you going to be able to flip that switch? Are you going to be able to elevate your game? Whether it's against Toronto or Edmonton, that's going to be the big question. It's more so, you know, what they look like and how they're playing as opposed to the results. That's going to tell us a lot about, you know, how the first round of the playoffs are going to go, because they're not going to have a lot of time. Even if they have an extra, you know, couple days, we talked about that, because Vancouver and Calgary are going to have to play those games, they'll get some extra days to I guess rest some of their players that might be injured or just rest for everybody. But regardless of that, as soon as the playoffs start, I mean, it's an absolute marathon. So, you know,
these it might two not games, be for I the Jets the way they're playing. It might not be at all there, possible. Dave.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say, like, to answer a question about Forbert, I don't have the minutes breakdown, but he played 20 games last season between the Kings and the Flames, and not including the playoffs. I'm just talking about regular season. So you've got a guy who played 20 games, and now he's up to 53 with the Jets. That's a lot of hockey for a guy. And again, like I said, he's not like the oldest guy on the team. He's only, what is he? How old is he again? He's about 20.
Late 20s at the early 30s, somewhere right around there. I mean, all these guys, everybody seems like they're, you know, a grizzled veteran. And then, I mean, I've told this story
before. He might be 29. I think he's 29. So anyways, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Drew.
Sorry. No, I was going to tell a story, but you can finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, so.
I want to hear story time with Drew Mandel. That's what I want to hear.
I'll tell you after.
I think what it comes down to, guys, is that you've Paul Maurice, I know that he wants what he has. Like, he was asked about it today in his availability. Do you have your lineup set? And he essentially said, yeah, I do. It's Perreault goes down and takes Harkins out, and Nikolaj Ehlers goes into the pro spot. And that's essentially his forward group. Okay.
Right.
So he knows his lines. Well, okay, so if you know your lines, then and you know roughly what your D pairings are going to be, and if you really want to have Derek Forbert healthy and ready to go, what the hell are you doing putting this guy in the lineup on Monday, Tuesday? Or get him out for one game. And again, to Ezzie's point, like, let Ville Heinola play. Let Logan Stanley play. I mean, again, these are essentially exhibition games.
They should both be in the lineup for the last two games.
Like, why not? You know, and look, we don't know what the status of Pionk is. He was listed as day-to-day with, after today's availability. He was 98%. Again, take that with a grain of salt, because usually that's not necessarily the truth. But the point is, you know, we don't know whether he's going to be available on Monday or not. The Jets practice tomorrow, I believe, but I can't remember. I can't remember their schedule. I think they're practicing tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure.
If anything, it might be an optional. I mean, I'd be surprised if it was a full team, you know, full out practice, because, you know, day after a game and with Monday, Tuesday coming up, you're unlikely to really drill them through a practice, especially at this stage of the season.
And it's Mother's Day as well.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll take the day off. But the point is that, you know, you have an opportunity to get these guys in and get them some confidence. Let them play. Let Ville Heinola play. Let Logan Stanley play. You put Ville Heinola on the second power play unit, give him an opportunity there. You know, that's a good move by Paul Maurice. You know, give him that responsibility, give him that opportunity. You know, if Neil Pionk's back, again, like I said, which is what your hope is, then you have an opportunity to really kind of get these guys, you know, mixed up. And because right now, look, Jeff O'Neill said it today on the show. It's the Jets defense isn't anything to write home about. And we all know that. Everybody in the chat knows that. The Jets know that. We can all pretend like it's something. Look, and the players are never going to shit on their own guys. They're not going to be like, oh yeah, our defense sucks. They're not going to say it. Nobody's ever going to say that, you know. But the point is that if you compare them, and Ezzie's done this many times to a number of other teams, they're not a defense that is going to inspire fear in anyone. And so, again, here's an opportunity to change some things up, and because it's not working, like Tucker Pullman and Derek Forward.
Yeah.
It's just again, like work. I said, that, well, I mean, it would be fine as your third pairing, I guess, but he doesn't play him like a third pairing. Yeah. And so, you know, again, Billy Hainola. Yeah. And then Logan Stanley, get these guys in. Again, I don't want to go broken record. Yeah. You've had him, Hainola, in a couple games. I'm just saying, to me, even if you want Forward in, then you got to get him rested because he's just gassed. He doesn't have it right now.
Dave, it's the rest, but it's also because in the first round of the playoffs, and I think what you're trying to say here, I don't want to put words into your mouth, obviously, but you know, in the first round, if let's say Forward is a starting defenseman and he struggles a little bit, let's say you get down in the series, whether that's just game one or you know you get go down 2-1 in the series, you want to be able to go to that's funny, love Mickey Moose. But when you're talking about, you know, a switch in series, right, Dave, you want to know exactly, like, and the Jets know what Ville Heinola can do. They've seen enough of Logan Stanley, even though, you know, it's you know, the rookie season for these guys. Why not see, you know, in the last couple games of the season, you know, how these guys both play in your top six? That's what I think the main point is here. Yeah, you want to rest Forward. You know, you want to rest, you know, some of these guys that have played all the games or the majority of the game. But you also want to give these guys, it's a little bit of an audition here in the last three games.
If you keep playing Forward, you know, the next three games through the end of the regular season, and then all of a sudden the playoffs happen and somebody on your left side of your D struggles, you're going to bring in a guy who hasn't played in what really any significant hockey in 9, 10, 11 games.
Exactly.
It just logically, simply but logic about keeping your guys ready, next man up philosophy, it logically makes sense to play a guy like Stanley, to play a guy, you know, like Hainola, continuing to play him just so that they're ready, even if they're not in the lineup for day one, game one of the playoffs, even though I think Hainola should be. If you're not, at least you got a guy who's ready, who's played games recently, who played well for you theoretically, and is champing at the bit and ready to go, and is you know a thoroughbred at the starting gate, ready to go, as opposed to a guy who, you know, like when they threw Kulikov into the lineup in game five against the Golden Knights, and Kulikov hadn't played a hockey game in what, you know, 3 months or whatever it was, going back to 2018. That was still one of the most illogical coaching decisions that I've seen in a long time.
And it went over well with 3 years. It went over well with Tobias Enstrom, at least.
Yeah, we still haven't seen him. We haven't heard hiding or hair from him since he stormed out of the media day that game after that. And you know that was the end of Toby Enstrom's time with the Jets organization. Anyways, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get some final thoughts. We'll try and play Paul Maurice if we're able to get his audio in time. If not, you can find it, of course, on our website, Dave. What's the website?
IllegalCurve.com, where you can get my post-game recap of the Moose win today in Toronto in the shootout. So I've got you can watch all the highlights of the goals. You can see Cole Perfetti, David Gustafson, Johnny Kovacevic, lots of Jets draft picks having impact. 10 straight games. I called it the train continues to chug along.
There you go. So all the Moose news is on the website. We'll come back with some final thoughts here on the post-game show. Connor McDavid up to 97 points. 97 points
Wow. For
number 97. He's already got a point in the Canucks and the Oilers game that's going on tonight. Man, good luck to anybody trying to shut him down come playoff time, especially this current Winnipeg Jets defense. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll be right back after these messages. Saturday night, 9:30. Wouldn't spend it with anybody else other than my good friends Dave and Ezra and all you fine people in the chat room. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. So nice to see so many of you. So nice to see so many of you that joined us earlier this morning for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you're looking for a replay of that, it is available on wherever you get your best podcasts. So you can always rate us, review us, subscribe to us via podcast. It's also, of course, on our website, illegalcurve.com, and, of course, on this YouTube page. So if you ever want to go back and watch a replay of what happened this morning, that is the best way that you can go about and do it. The story I was going to tell earlier, Mr. Ginsburg, because I could say, I know that you wanted to hear that one, is goes back to, I believe, the second Winnipeg Jets season, where I was broadcasting from the Winnipeg Jets draft party, which was held downtown, I'm trying to think, at the Shark Club. So I was broadcasting from there for our former radio station. And
yeah, 1290.
Thank you. That's the former radio station that you're speaking of. And I was broadcasting there, and Mark Stewart was there, and he was the Jets representative on site signing autographs. Name drop. Signing autographs and everything else. And then, you know, he came over and we did a couple segments together on air. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, there's Mark Stewart, you know, towards the tail end of his career, you know, the grizzled veteran that he is. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, he's probably 35, 36, something like that, you know, towards the, you know, grizzled veteran guy who's been through all the wars. Then I looked it up afterwards. I'm like, he was like 27 at that point in time. He was younger than I was. And it always bought, you know, stuck out in my mind that the grizzled veteran when it comes to hockey and the grizzled veteran when it comes to all other walks of life are two very different grizzled veterans. So that was the story. I hope it was worth
waiting for. That was not worth waiting for.
I didn't think it was that kind
of
story.
That must have been the first or second year of the Jets.
That's the tractor story?
It was the year they drafted Morrissey. It was the Morrissey draft, if I'm not mistaken.
2013? We were at the Morrissey draft, weren't we, guys?
Mark Stewart's 37, so if he was 27, that would have been the first year of the Jets.
Well, it was the first or second year. I mean, who was the first pick after Scheifele, the year after Scheifele?
Trouba. Are we talking about the first round of 2012?
You're talking about the second round of 2011 or the
first? No, the first round. The first round
Trouba of 2012. Was 2012.
That was Trouba in Pittsburgh.
That was in Pittsburgh.
We didn't go to that
then one. Maybe it was the Trouba draft. I really don't. It could have been the Trouba draft. I don't really
remember.
We didn't
go to that one. The legal career did not go to the Trouba draft.
In any event.
But regardless, Mark Stewart applied for a restraining order after that interview.
He didn't, actually, because if you remember, if Drew wants a name drop, then I'll do a little Mark Stewart name drop. Remember, Mark Stewart was on the Illegal Curve Movember team along with Zach Bogosian. I'm not sure how they ended up
and,
on.
And Slates.
Yes, Jim Slater. That was the third one. That's right.
And also, we should throw in Mark Stewart recently was hired as the new assistant coach for Colorado College. He was at Vermont.
He was at Vermont. That's right.
Now he's with Colorado College. Yep.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. Well, there you go. We've done some sufficient name dropping, then, I suppose, here as we're carrying on with the Illegal Curve post-game show on this Saturday evening. You know, look, this Jets team has a lot of warts right now. It's really what you can boil down to. You know, they're fortunate. I mean, can you imagine if they had lost to Calgary on Wednesday night and then put out this effort tonight to get against the Ottawa Senators? And obviously, you never know what would have happened. But, you know, the pressure that was on was relieved a little bit, but it's clear that it wasn't a complete and total fix for what ails the Winnipeg Jets as they continue to struggle. They continue to struggle offensively. They continue to just really look like a team that's a shell of the same team that we saw, you know, a month ago, certainly, you know, 6 weeks ago, no doubt. And the question is, and boy, it's going to be difficult the way Edmonton's rolling and the way Toronto's rolling to see any of Winnipeg or Montreal put up a fight come the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Drew. And, you know, the Jets do have three games left, thankfully, right? And you should be able to put up a lot of goals up against Vancouver, even though, you know, the Canucks are obviously going to try to play the role of spoiler, even though there's not much to spoil aside from the Jets, you know, clinching third place. We talked about that, but, you know, it's got to come from within. And that goes back to what we were talking about with emotion, right? Like, we could talk about this all day long until we're blue in the face here. But if the Jets don't, you know, put together, you know, three good games here, and, you know, unfortunately, they weren't able to put together their best game tonight. And yeah, it was a one goal game. And the Jets had an opportunity in the third period. But obviously, you know, the third goal was self-inflicted. And that's something that, you know, I'll be looking for here, you know, in these two games against Vancouver and Toronto. It's if the Jets lose these games because the other team deserved to win these games, and I'm not saying Ottawa didn't deserve to win the games, but I'm saying like the Jets, what I said this morning was like an honest, hardworking effort. And mm-hmm. you only saw that for one period, right? Like the Jets were the better team in the first period, but second and third period, it just wasn't good enough. The Senators were the better team. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for here in the last three games, to put together more complete efforts.
Let's hear from the Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice.
Hi, Paul. Blake had just said, when asked about getting the offense going, had talked about it being a dangerous game, talking about getting the offense going when the focus right now is on building a defensive game. How do you find that balance when it looks like you're not able to get one while focusing on the other at the moment?
Well, we got to get that defensive game right. We have absolutely no chance of beating the two teams that we'll face. And you know, we've working hard on not giving things up off the rush, and we've made a real good improvement in that. I'm not expecting our offensive game to light up and explode. It's just a function of what we got here. So give us our best chance to win. We got world-class goaltending, and we've got guys that can skate up front and they can get pucks to the net. And we got to make sure we eliminate what we hand the other team.
We'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. Blake referenced a couple times that he liked the effort in the game, called it pretty good. Is pretty good enough at this point?
Well, you know, pretty good wasn't tonight. What was lacking in the game, and I understood it, was some emotion. So they worked hard. They worked smart. We didn't, in a lot of ways, didn't cheat the game. We didn't move the puck particularly well. Probably the end zones of the rink where they came up with more pucks in their end than we did in ours, or when we came up with them, we didn't get too many clean outs. That would be the difference in the game. And usually there's a certain physicality that goes to that. And, you know, so we had just come off really emotional game and emotional stretch. And they worked hard in practice yesterday, but it was quite, I mean, they just worked hard, right? And they kind of came out tonight. We worked hard, but there wasn't a whole lot. That the crowd was really quiet tonight. And I thought that we looked like a team that just broke a 7-game streak and qualified for the playoffs and beat the team that knocked us out of the playoffs last year. And we spent a lot in that game, and there wasn't a whole lot of emotion, and the hard work was there, the effort was there, but the emotion was hard to find.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
And so, Paul, just to pick up what you were saying there, I mean, progress isn't always a straight line, right? And so would you look at tonight then not necessarily a step back from your last game in any way, shape, or form?
No, and I don't. We're still right where we need to be in terms of most slot shots and what we're giving up on the rush, which is the killer for you in the playoffs. And it's going to be the killer or our chance when we play. We're either getting, you know, I mean, an elite forward unit in Toronto where we're getting the two elite scorers in the world. That's who we're getting. And if you look at the challenges that those teams have posed, it's you know, directly off the rush for the most part. They've been really strong against us, and they're going to get their chances. We just can't have that number get to anything that looked like in our last games against them. So we were better with that. Ottawa's, you know, been a real good rush team against a lot of teams. They stretch. They got lots of skill up front, and they've got lots of now they got puck movers on their back end. So with the emotion of the game, you'd be looking to see a lot more physical game from us against them. So the things that we're asking them to do to be sharp on, we have been. The offensive part of our game is clearly lacking in that. But we're not outscoring these two teams and expecting to beat them in a playoff round. We got to get this part right.
We'll go next to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weeber.
Paul, what's going through your mind when Connor Hellebuyck has to be looked at there? And was it just a matter of he jammed his finger like between the poster?
So he got zero room on that one. If it was anything we were worried about, he'd have been out of the net, even though there was short time on the clock. So, you know, that's the danger playing right now. Every team's, you know, shifts are short, trying to get off the ice. You know, it's part of the game that I think you saw tonight. There wasn't a lot of physicality in that game from either team, and that's the time of year nobody wants to see their number one goalie go down, that's for sure.
We'll go next to Murat Ateş from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. Just following up on the rush chances against, I might not have this right. Maybe some of it came in the on the power play early, but I feel like you saw Ville Heinola against odd man rushes early and late when you were chasing the game as well. So I'm wondering how you thought he did handling that and the rest of his night.
Yeah, he was fine. You know, he's a good young defenseman and he can move the puck. And I think he was fine in his game tonight.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, Blake had also said what he thinks it's going to take to get the offense going is maybe some crash the crease, dirty goals. Who are the players you look to do that?
Yeah, all of them. I mean, that's where this game is going, right? We've seen, all of us have seen an awful lot of playoff hockey, and the pucks get put to the net and the team willing to spend as much time as they can net front and win it, right? It's not just a matter about being there. There's scrums to the puck. We had some chances, not a lot, but some chances to get our puck or stick on the puck around the net, and we got to find a way to get those. But generating, we got the puck from the goal line to the blue line enough times tonight. We got to get that puck from the blue line to the net. We've got it, or you know, like they did, it's shot tip, right? So their two goals came from their blue line putting the puck and finding shot tips, and that's where we've got to find a place to go.
There he goes, Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice, after his media availability earlier this evening following the Jets defeat to the Ottawa Senators.
I want to give him credit for one thing, and I know everybody's upset, but I will give him credit. I did laugh while I was listening to his line about the crowd. I know people are pissed, people aren't happy, but his line about the crowd, I thought him thinking that the crowd was a little quiet tonight. I don't know. I made that joke. Like that one. I did like that one. I thought it was a good insertion of levity.
Sorry, was Wednesday's game against the Flames some emotional battle that I missed entirely?
No,
was there a lot of emotion in Wednesday's game against the league,
Drew,
Flames? That he's.
It was a good team beating a bad team. It was the Jets beating a bad team.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I wouldn't go to use the word good so quick, but I mean, what do you guys do when they haven't done something, right? You have to create something. You create it like when Kevin Cheveldayoff doesn't make a trade, he talks about Ville Heinola. I mean,
distraction is what you're saying.
Yeah, like don't look over there, look over there. And so this is what Paul Maurice is doing. I mean, he's a veteran coach. He knows what he has the gift of gab. So he's saying, oh yeah, we had a bit of emotion. And there's, you know, you can always say, oh, well, there's always a letdown first game back from a road trip, even though it wasn't a long road trip. And so it's all the cliches. Whatever, it doesn't really make a difference. If your team isn't better on Monday and isn't better on Tuesday, you know what they do need to do though? I've mentioned this before. We know Lauren Brossoit is going to get one of the games against the Canucks and Connor Hellebuck's going to get one of them. They need to give Connor Hellebuck the complete night off and dress Eric Comrie as their backup. I don't know why you would necessitate him dressing, because the game doesn't matter. Who cares? Give him the night off. I know he's going to get plenty of rest, but it doesn't even matter.
Look, I could hear very easily be convinced of an argument to give Hellebuck Monday, Tuesday off. And let Comrie, Brossoit, and then give Hellebuck half a Friday against the Leafs. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, grinding your guys into dust that you've already grinded them pretty hard this year. You know, give the Monday, Tuesday. If you want guys not to have Monday, Tuesday, and Friday off, give them Monday, Tuesday off. Play them Friday against the Marlies.
As of right now, they are practicing tomorrow.
Yeah. Give them Friday off against the Marlies, and then you're ready for the playoffs. But continuing to just work them and work them and work them.
Well, guys, I don't know
Connor Hellebuck solves anything.
No goaltender in the NHL started as many games as Connor Hellebuck. 43 games. 43 out of 53 for the Jets. That's I get it. And I get that Paul Maurice is, you know, what he used Artur Zerbe 72 games in one season.
It was a different era. It was a different time.
Yeah. I mean, although ironically, it was probably still when they were flying commercial. But anyways, the point is that Connor Hellebuck needs, like this, I mean, this team, they need to just change a few things. And I think if you just give Connor Hellebuck that opportunity to not have to even dress, Eric Comrie, like I said, Eric Comrie just played three games for the Moose. He's fine to back up Lauren Brossoit. If you need him to play in a game, he won a game for the Devils earlier this year. Eric Comrie,
let him play a game. Reward him. Reward guys. Get some good vibes going.
And you know what? That's what I was going to say. Like the taxi squad guys. Every guy I've talked to who's playing, who's played on the taxi squad and has gone down to the Moose, has talked about how, well, first of all, you can see it in their game. And they've all had, it's funny, they've all had, like, CJC scored a goal today. He was recently on the taxi squad. Nelson Noje scored a goal in the last game for the Moose. He was on the taxi squad. You have a lot of guys who kind of get a, they one thing they've said is that the taxi squad has really kept them fresh. Remember, that was one of the things, was you don't want guys just practicing, but really the guys consistently have talked about the taxi squad and how it's given them the opportunity to stay fresh and hungry. And like I said, when they get in games, whatever. But I just think that you need to give this, you need to change a few things up. And one of them could be just to give, like I said, give Connor Hellebuyck a night where he doesn't have to dress. And he doesn't have to put on the equipment. And it just, it's
doesn't
one.
Doesn't even need to come to the rink.
Well, go whatever. Ahead. But anyways, yeah. I think he does, man. He does, because he still need a third goaltender just in case. But anyway, the point is, I think you need to just change some things up with this team mentally, because again, not the goaltending so much, but just this team overall, like just do something, because right now it's just not going on.
Let's wrap it up with that. Unless Ezzy, you got any final thoughts you want to chime in on?
Wait a second. I didn't even get to do my Moose segment.
You know what? People can stick around for your Moose segment, or you can go to Dave's Moose YouTube page and you can watch Dave's analysis there.
Well, we're gonna have an end of season Moose analysis most likely. So
no question.
Well, I, well, for the record, you're not invited.
Oh,
I'm gonna be doing it with the Moose people. I'm not gonna be doing it with you. Ezzy can maybe do it, because Ezzy's expressed interest in coming to a Moose game. You, I don't think so. We don't need any bandwagoners. Ezzy, he's in. You, I don't think so.
Well, on that note, when you feel the love, you know that you just got to say goodnight and go spend it with somebody that actually likes you. And hopefully that's still my wife. But on that note, thanks to everybody who's joined us.
Hold on, Drew. I do have one final thought here. I am confirmed for the vaccine on Monday around 20 to 3. Not around 20 to 3. That's when my appointment is. So I might not be available for Monday night's game, because I might be recovering. You know that, because you just got the vaccine.
Yeah, but you're week. Getting. What are you getting? You're probably getting Moderna or Pfizer. I got.
Oh no, I'm. They're putting all of them together for me, Drew. I got AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson. Yeah, they're putting some other stuff in there, so I'm getting a super shot.
Okay, you get that makes sense. So no,
I'm getting Moderna.
If you're getting Moderna, yeah, exactly. Somebody's doing well. There's fewer ramifications or fewer side effects for that one, but hopefully.
So what you're saying is I don't get Monday night off. Is essentially
you can get Monday night off. You know very well that if you decide to get Monday night off, there's nothing we're going to do to stop you. In any event, we'll be back Monday night for the
play it by ear, Drew.
Okay, we'll play it by ear. We'll be back Monday night. I'll be here and Dave will be here regardless for the Illegal Curve post-game show after the Jets and the Canucks on Monday night, and again on Tuesday night, right around 9:30, 9:40, somewhere around that point in time. So you can stay tuned for that. Big thanks to everybody who joined us this morning, certainly for the Illegal Curve hockey show, joined us tonight for the Illegal Curve post-game show. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, and our friends, of course, at Boston Pizza as well. Support these fine local businesses. Support all the local businesses right now. They could really use your help. As much effort, as much help as you can provide, they would certainly appreciate it. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Monday night at around 9:30, we wish you good night and good luck.